This is Ian Pickus. We are back in the Congressional Corner today with candidate Josh Riley. He's a Democrat running for Congress in New York's 19th District. That's a seat held by Republican Mark Molinaro. Josh, it's been a while. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ian. Good to be with you.
So it's our first conversation since March. Are you winning?
It's going to be a really tight race, I would imagine. It's a very, very competitive district. And what I know is I've been out talking to voters every day. Our team has already knocked on thousands of doors. And, you know, I travel around this district and talk to people from all walks of life. And people are really excited about our campaign. I think people are really frustrated with how politics are going right now. And are eager for change.
If someone listening to this, hasn't been paying attention to politics, frankly, I think that's most people. They tune in closer to the election. Who are you, and why do you think you should win the seat?
Yeah, so my story is a really typical upstate New York story. My folks came to Broome County over 100 years ago. Like so many families coming to the region back then to work in the factories and try to earn a place in the middle class, working with their hands, punching a clock. And as my generation was coming up, I saw what happened when corruption in our politics and greed in our economy led to those plants closing down, jobs getting shipped overseas just so that Wall Street can make a buck. And that experience informed a lot of my politics. It taught me at a pretty young age that in our economy, in our politics, the deck has been stacked against working people and working class communities like the one that I grew up in. And it's been stacked in favor of these politicians and the political establishment and these big, powerful special interests that basically buy politicians to do what's best for them instead of what's best for us. And so that's guided a lot of my career. I did civil rights work for kids who were living in poverty and needed access to healthcare services. I did a lot of work to bring Democrats and Republicans together to fight the opioid epidemic, which had ripped through my community. And now I'm running for Congress to change things. I don't take any corporate PAC money because I think our campaign finance system is corrupt as hell. I'm pushing for term limits because I think we need some new voices and some new leadership. And I want to ban members of Congress from trading stocks in office. They shouldn't be using insider information to make themselves rich at our expense.
How many terms?
There's one proposal that's been floating around that I think has, bipartisan support that says 12 years. That's something I would sign on to. I think maybe we could even have it lower than that. I know there's a proposal for 18 years at the Supreme Court. That's something I would support as well. We can figure out the details and figure out where the agreement is. But the general principle is that we need some new voices and we need some new leadership.
You said you're not taking corporate money. Does that put you at a disadvantage? Because frankly, this is one of the most closely contested and watched races in this entire cycle nationally.
The fact that I don't take any corporate PAC money, no, I don't think it puts me at a disadvantage. And I think that most voters here want somebody who's going to Congress to work for them instead of going to Congress in the pocket of the special interests. And look, I've had some people tell me, hey, Josh, you talk a lot about campaign finance reform and all the corruption and everything, and it's kind of abstract, but it's really not. And most voters that I talk to understand the direct line from the votes that are being taken in Congress to the corporate PAC checks that are being shoved into the pockets of the politicians, to the challenges that folks are having as they're trying to balance the budget every week at the kitchen table. You know, I remember when I was growing up, at the end of the school year, we would go down to Kmart and we'd pick out the school clothes for the next school year. And I remember my folks balancing the budget every week. They put the clothes on layaway. And so every week you'd have to go down and make a payment. And I remember having, the envelopes at the kitchen table. One was for the vacation saving up for, one was for the utilities, one was for the school clothes. And so I'm talking to families all across the district right now who are having those conversations at the kitchen table, trying to make ends meet. And what they know to be the case is that when the utility monopolies are shoving tens of thousands of dollars into the pockets of the politicians and then turning around and jacking up their rates by 60%, that has an effect on what they're trying to do with their family. They know that when the oil industry is pumping billions of dollars into our political system to buy politicians and let them price gouge us, that is hurting their pockets. And so the fact that I don't take corporate PAC money, it means I'm going to Congress to fight for folks like the neighborhood that I grew up in and not for the big, powerful special interests.
Let me ask you this, and I hope you don't mind me telling this tale out of school, but you and I were supposed to talk at a different time not long ago, and you had to cancel because of a childcare issue, which made me think, what would you do about that? Is a very common concern that people have. I mean, everyone deals with it who has kids. What would you do about childcare and the childcare cliff that people face if elected?
Yeah, I think we were supposed to talk last week, and my four-year-old is now in summer camp until school starts again here. Mateo just turned 1 year old, and we were without childcare, and my wife works incredibly hard, and so we ended up with a childcare gap and had to juggle a bunch of things, and so I hate to tell you, in her very important work meeting took priority over our interview. So I'm glad we get there.
You know what? I understand that.
Yeah. So I was probably out with my boys at the time. But the real thing here is, I mean, so many families are really, really struggling with a completely broken care economy. So my view is that we should have universal paid family leave. We should have investment so that everybody has access to universal pre-K at the early stages of life and also care at the end of life. I mean, we should be making these investments in a care economy, both because it's the right thing to do, but also it's going to strengthen our economy. There's so many families that I've talked to where mom or dad has to stay home because the child care is either not available or it's inaccessible. Imagine if we're able to put so many more people into the workforce by investing in this. And I got to tell you, it all goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago, the corruption in our politics and in our economy. What are we doing as a country when the first bill that came up in 118th Congress was massive subsidies and tax cuts and billions of dollars in giveaways to the oil industry? Well, we've got families across upstate New York who are struggling because they can't get their kids into childcare, or they can't get their parents who are toward the older years in life into the care they need. We've got our priorities completely screwed up in this country. And the reason is that the agenda is set by these big, powerful special interests that are more interested in driving their own profits and lining the pockets of politicians than families who are struggling to get by around here. I'm so sick of it. And it's a big part of why I'm running.
So we only have a minute left in today's segment. Sure. And this is a hard question to do in a minute, but how do you propose to pay for that type of social safety net expansion that you're talking about?
Yeah, so two things. Number one, it's an investment. When we are investing in our families and we are investing in our communities, it pays huge dividends down the road. Think of all those parents who can go into the workforce and how productive that would be and the tax revenue that would be generated from it. But also look at what we're spending our money on right now as a country. I mean, there's no reason that we should be spending billions of dollars on subsidies for the fossil fuel industry that could go into paying for families to have access to early childhood education and care. I mean, this Republican Congress, the 118th Congress, one of the votes they took would have had a 30% cut the Head Start programs across this district. We've got 42% of the kids in the city of Binghamton, which is the biggest city in this district. 42% of the kids are living in poverty. And you've got politicians in Washington voting to give tax cuts to billionaires, to have the carried interest loophole so that hedge fund managers can line their pockets and cut investments for early childhood education. So the question to me isn't necessarily how are we paying for it. The question is, why are we paying for the things we're paying for and neglecting the things that we need?
Josh Riley is a Democrat running for Congress in New York's 19th district. That seat is held by first-term Republican Mark Molinaro. Josh, we're thankful for your time, and when we come back the next time, we'll pick it right up.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate it.